Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the hand of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Chapter 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I'd like to include his father also. Amen. The topic of my message today is pampered but not spoiled. Pampered but not spoiled. I've read a few passages from the book of Proverbs. First, he said, train up a child in the way it should go. No matter how old you are today, you were once a child. And every child that is not properly trained will become a liability and will become a problem, not just to his father and his mother, but to his society. The scripture said, a child that is left to himself is not going to end up good. The Bible demands that parents train their children in the right way. The right way of the Lord, the right way of behavior, the right way to interact, the right way to relate with others, those who are mates with him or her, those who are his subordinates or her subordinates, those who are colleagues, and those who are superior. The burden of training rests on the father and the mother. What a child will become will have so much to do with what the father and the mother has done with that child. Yes, I know sometimes there are children who become bad, not because they had bad parents, but just because they chose a way of life for themselves. But that in any way does not exonerate the parents from doing that which they ought to do. To train is to develop behavior by instruction and practice. And this is one of the cardinal duties of every parent. Sometimes it is easy for us to ask the Lord, Father, give me children. Lord, give me children. I need children. If not for anything, to show my mates that I also can have children, can raise children. But I'd like us to understand that every time God gives a family a child, God places the responsibility of bringing up that child to become everything that God wants that child to become on the shoulders of the parents. No child is given to us by God for the fun of having children, because every child is a destiny going somewhere to happen. And when children are born, they are born as packages of solution to the world's problem. You know, when the children of Israel were in Egypt and they were languishing in pain and in slavery, God promised them freedom. And guess how that freedom was going to come? That freedom was going to come through a child that will be born to a father and a mother who will specially raise the child to be able to stand in the midst of his brethren and speak deliverance. The burden was going to be on the shoulder of Moses' father and mother to raise Moses in such a way that even though he will grow up in the house of Pharaoh, he will not become too engrossed with the beautiful things in the house of Pharaoh, but he will stand out and say, I would rather suffer affliction with my brethren than to enjoy the pleasures in Pharaoh's house. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever. For the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them." God is talking about Eli here. "And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. My prayer for you is that God will not bring judgment on you because you were irresponsible. God will not bring judgment on you because you didn't do that which he expected of you to do for your children." There was really nothing Eli did practically that was wrong with God. But God pointed out, he said, for the evils that the children are doing, and he's not restraining them. He said, it is one thing to note, it is one thing to know that my child is going overboard, and it is yet another thing to do something practically about it to ensure that the child doesn't continue in that path. So Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Verse 17. And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." 18. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Praise God. You know, sometimes God gives us opportunity of repentance. God gives us an opportunity to turn back. But sometimes we are even more religious than God himself. Eli said, "He is God. Let him do what seems good to him." Verse 22. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, the Bible demands that we, as parents, train our children in a way that they should go. You know, one thing God said to the mother of Jesus, Mary, as we know, God said to her, "Blessed art thou amongst women, because you are going to bear a son, and he shall deliver his people from all their sins." Now, Samuel is born. He's born to a mother who had been looking for a child. She was looking for a child not just because she loved children so much, but if not for anything, for the sake that her co-wife, Peninnah, would not allow her rest. She kept crying every day. She had to go to her husband and said, "Give me children." And Elkanah was baffled and said to Anna, "Am I God that I should give you children?" Thank God, she realized that no matter how hard she will cry to her husband, that was the wrong address. So she went to God one day in Shiloh and cried to the Lord and said to God, "If you will give me a son, I will give that son back to you. And that son shall become your servant forever." And God said, "Now you have spoken." God gave Anna a son. You know, some of us at that point would have forgotten easily that we actually asked the Lord to give us a child and that we will return that child to him. But Anna didn't forget. Anna returned the child to the Lord. And the Bible says once every year, she will pay a visit to that child, not only to present clothes, not only to give the child what to eat, but also to remind the child that before you came, I had a transaction with God, that I was going to hand you over to God, and you will become a vessel in the hand of God. And the Bible says that child, Samuel, grew in the knowledge of the Lord and in the house of the Lord. and became a prophet. Such a prophet that God would depend on. And because of this, the Bible says God remembered Anna and gave her 5 other children. Today, we are parents. If we are not parents now, we will be parents soon. And there is a burden of responsibility on our shoulders to raise our children in such a way that God can depend on them. To raise our children in such a way that God can function through them. To raise our children in such a way that God can call them out and give them an assignment. I said earlier that to train is to develop behavior by instruction and by practice. And this is one of the cardinal duties of the parents. The package of training is all inclusive. It includes pampering. Yeah. It includes pampering. To treat your children with care. To treat your children with love. To treat your children with such kindness that if somebody sees it from a distance, they will say, "How, what a lovely father he is. What a lovely mother she is." But that is not without discipline. That is not without instructions and correction. To train the child also includes to pamper the child. But many times, parents have done one side and didn't do the other side. And before you know it, you begin to raise a prodigal son right in your house. If you study the prodigal son, you'll be wondering, what was the difference between the prodigal son and his elder brother? The both of them were raised in the same house. And this question should bog your mind. How come that the prodigal son demanded for a share of his own inheritance while the father was still alive? And the father never bothered to tell the prodigal son that it wasn't right to give him a share of his inheritance while he was still alive. The father didn't talk so much. All the father did was to divide it and gave it to him. "You are my son. This thing belongs to you after all. If you need it, I'm going to give it to you." There's nothing wrong to give to your children that which they need. But as a father, as a mother, you must be able to know the right time to give to them that which is their own by inheritance. Praise God. Even though it is his own, there is a right time to give. Just like no sane father will give the car keys he has to his 5-year-old son to drive. The car belongs to him, of course. But there is going to be a time that he will be matured. There's going to be a time that he will be ripe for it. But if you say, "Well, she is my daughter, he is my son, they are my children. Whatever they need, I will give to them. That's why God gave them to me." You may just be raising a prodigal son. Praise the Lord. Many parents have pampered their children and not trained them. This lesson will help us know that there are those who were pampered, yet they were not spoiled. So you can actually pamper and not spoil. But most times, some parents have pampered without training. One of the qualities God commended about Abraham was that he will command his household and children after him. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." 19. "For I have known him." I know that Abraham will command his children. Now, by this time, Abraham hadn't a child. "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." God said of Abraham, "I know him." Abraham didn't have Ishmael by this time. There was no Isaac by this time. But yet God says, I know him. I know the way he is. I know his love for me. That his love for me will not just end with himself and his wife, but he will transfer his love for me to his children. I pray for you that whatever God will give you, you will merit it. You see, God can bless you in spite of you, but that's a dangerous position to be with God. Receiving the blessing of God regardless of your relationship with him. And that's why I say to people that the presence of good things is not an evidence of God's presence. The fact that your business is doing well does not mean that God is with you. The fact that nothing has gone wrong with you doesn't mean that God approves of you. Because God can be blessing you while he's looking for your replacement. God can be blessing you while he's looking for somebody that will take over from you. If you study the story of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt towards the promised land, in the wilderness, God got so angry with them that he wanted to kill them all. But Moses intervened and God said to Moses, whatever I am doing for this generation, I am doing it for the sake of their children. So let God not bless me in spite of me. Now, some people will pray and say, God, look at my pastor and bless me. God, look at my father's work and bless me. Now, you are not going to stay too long with that kind of a blessing. He said, for I know Abraham. Are there fathers here that God knows that they will command their children after him? Are there mothers here that God can say that I know her? She will teach her children the right way of the Lord. Because the man that is holding a gun and pointing it at the head of a fellow man and pulling the trigger comes from a home. Was raised by a father. Was raised by a mother. They were raised by parents. And God said, I know Abraham. This implies that Abraham will raise his children after his own examples. Fathers and mothers today, can God say that of you? Or maybe the only thing God can say about you as far as raising your children is concerned is that you will buy them good clothes. Praise God. God said of Abraham, I know him. He knew that Abraham was going to give them good clothes. Abraham was going to provide for them. Abraham was going to be there for them. But God also said, I know that he will command his children after me. There are parents that go to church and don't bring their children along. There are parents that know how to pray and don't teach their children how to pray. There are parents that knows the Lord but they never pray that their children will know the Lord. Maybe sometimes it doesn't feel necessary. Maybe sometimes we believe that somewhere along the line the children will be able to find their feet. But I tell you that the responsibility of every father and a mother is to give structure to their children, whereby the children will grow up. Praise the Lord. God said of Abraham, I know that he will command his children after me. What can God say of you? Is it that I know that he will buy them good clothes? I know that he will send them to good schools. I know that he will buy them cakes. He will buy them burger. He will buy them gala. I know that he will buy them ice cream. And I know that he will fight anybody who dares to correct them or discipline them, whether in school or in church. Praise God. Now, could that be what God is saying about you as a father, as a mother? I know that my son, that he will buy his children good clothes. I know that he will even fight anybody that dares to correct them. Whether in church or in school, because there are parents who come to fight those in the children's section in churches and say, why did you ask my child to kneel down? Praise God. Now, don't discipline him. I was told in those days, one person's child used to be everybody's child, but it is no longer like that today. Amen. Leave my child to me. I will train him the way I want. But there are some trainings that will bring results that you will not like. Going to good school is good. Buying them good clothes, very good. buying them burger, food, and other things that they like very good. They are very necessary for the well-being of a child. But if these are all you can offer them without the undiluted word of God and correct impartation of moral upbringing in them, then you are pampering them. And pampering them means you are inculcating a prodigal spirit in them. It will ultimately result to a spoiled child. May you not raise a spoiled child in the name of Jesus. There is no father or mother that is ever proud of a spoiled child. The Bible says a child that is foolish is a disgrace to his parents. Nobody is proud of a spoiled child. Or let me ask you, will you be proud to introduce your 13-year-old daughter that already have two children to your friend and say, meet my first daughter, she's 13, she has two children already? I'm sure there is no father, there's no mother that will be proud to do that. Now, from our text today in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel was the only son as at his birth. And in fact, he was a precious son at that. Yet he was raised to become a prophet for God. He was given all the good things of life. He was given everything that will make him a child, that will make him enjoy himself. But was also raised to fear God and to eschew evil. Can God trust me as a father? Can God trust you as a father? Can God trust you as a mother to raise a Samuel for him? God was looking for a prophet in the land, and he chose to send that prophet through the household of Elkanah and his wife Anna. Can God trust you to raise a Samuel for him? Can God trust you to raise a Deborah for him? Can God trust you to raise a John the Baptist for him? If Mary were to be raised in your house, would she have been found a virgin as at the time she was found a virgin? Praise God. That's a question that I should go back home with. If Mary, the mother of Jesus, were to be raised in my house, would she have been found a virgin as at when she was found a virgin? If John the Baptist were to be raised in my house, would he have been able to become the John the Baptist that said, I am not Jesus, I am not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah, I'm not Elisha, but I am a voice that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make straight his path. Can God trust me to raise a John for him? So when God is looking for a Samuel in your generation, can he choose you? Can God look at you and say, I know that sister Beatrice, I know that brother Paul, that if I send this boy to his house, he will raise him in such a way that I will be able to use him 5 years after now. Are you still with me? My prayer for you is that you will live as a father and as a mother that God can trust. Praise the Lord. Because there are some that God is beginning to say, if I had known, I wouldn't have sent that boy to him. Mary was raised by a father and a mother, and she was able to fulfill prophetic mandate. If Joseph were to be raised in my house, if Joseph were to be raised in your house, would he have been able to reject the chance of sleeping with Potiphar's wife and gain undue influence? Amen. That is a question I should always answer. If Joseph was raised by me, would I have been able to put in him that which will enable him to refuse the advances of his master's wife? If he was my son, with the way we are treating our children, can they stand tall outside there? With the way we are treating our children, with what we are telling them, with what we are showing them. You see, there's nothing wrong to actually tell your children, don't watch this. Because sometimes we can tell our children, don't watch this, don't watch this. That's good, but it's not balanced. If you say don't watch him, tell him what to watch. Because if you don't tell him what to watch, he will choose what to watch. Praise God. Don't go to this place, go to this place. Don't be here, be there. That's what a balanced parenting is. No, because sometimes we can quickly say, I have told him what not to do. I have told her what not to do. But when you say, don't do this one, you should give him an option of what to do in place of that one. Otherwise, someone else will tell him what to do in place of that. And that may not be good for that child. Praise the Lord. God trusted Joseph and Mary to raise a Jesus, to become a savior of the world. He lived with them and fulfilled his ministry. Now let me ask you, the children staying under your roof, the children eating from you, what are they becoming? It will be fine that I did all I needed to have done and the child see turned out this way. But it will be very sorrowful that I didn't do what I ought to have done. And that's why the child is turning out this way. Praise the Lord. Some of us are what we are because of the kind of parents that we had. Some of us will always remember, if not for my father, if not for my mother, I don't know what I would have become. Because he will not just let me be. Because he can't go to church without bringing me in. Because he can't have morning devotion while I am enjoying sleep in my room. Praise God. Parents are praying together. Sons and daughters are sleeping. Now, what are you teaching them? You can sleep as much as you want to sleep. We know the road to heaven. We will always be praying for you. Can I let you know that a time will come that you won't be there for them? And their only safety and security will be in the things that you have put in the inside of them. I say it again. If Joseph were to be my son, at the age of 17, he's sold into slavery. He's taken to a land where they don't know God, where they don't worship God. Suddenly at 17, my son is in a strange land. What will he become? But Joseph said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? There was something that was right inside of him before he was sold. Fortunately or unfortunately, civilization has made it that we don't have so much time to stay with our children like they do have time to stay with outsiders. At most today, we stay with our children 13 years. 14 years, some even less than that. Because for some parents, at 11, the child is already going to boarding school. Praise God. At 12, the child is already gone to boarding school. And he stays there. He comes home once in a while during holidays. And he stays more at school. And after that, he goes to the university. The child is on his own. So we have very little time to stay with them. But I tell you that if you use the 11 years, the 12 years, and build their foundation well, wherever they will be 25 years after, they will be secured by the things you put in the inside of them. Praise God. Don't get discouraged. Don't say, well, children of these days, they don't listen. Put it there. One day they will remember that my father said this. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call,
Our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.